This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
We are, however, going to be moving on to our next story, which is about digital tax. So Parliament just passed this bill yesterday. It's going to be a 6% rate only for foreign digital services, coming into force on the 1st of January 2020. And we're second only to Singapore in Southeast Asia to introduce a digital tax. The Deputy Finance Minister, Dato' Amiruddin Hamza, said basically about the 6% rate that is relatively low in comparison to other countries. 25% in Norway is where they're at, 15% in New Zealand and 18% in Russia.
Yes, I think that the Russia we can probably discount because, Russia's rather interested in cutting itself off from the rest of the world. The 25% in Norway is very high, but all taxation in Norway is very high. In fact, they might even say 25%, well, that's cheap. New Zealand is mentioned there. That's slightly not entirely true. New Zealand have had a digital tax for a number of years. But and that's being called the Netflix tax, so that you would be paying your 15% for the use of digital services, be they Netflix, the streaming sites, etc. Mm-hmm. Now what they're trying to do, and this has literally just happened just last month, they've introduced a paper, a discussion paper, to tax at the rate of 15% all goods that come in that have been purchased through the internet.
Right. That's kind of frightening.
Yes. And there's been some pushback on that. So they're talking about this as being an interim only because the OECD is talking about, has been in negotiations for a very long time to try and find a way to properly tax these digital companies that are making vast amounts of money but don't appear to be paying taxes very much in any given country.
Well, here in our country, what it's going to cover, as they say, digital service providers, it's going to be things like software, movies, music, apps, things like that. I think streaming will also come into play here. So hopefully not things like physical items that were ordered through these service providers, because that would really be nuts.
Well, that would be nuts, but even...
Although 6% compared to 15 feels less painful in that context.
Well, you know, 6%, what are you going to raise with 6%? So even in New Zealand, where they're charging 15%, they reckon that 2.7 billion New Zealand dollars of cross-border digital services are happening in the New Zealand economy. They reckon with that tax, they're going to raise anywhere between 30 and 80 million New Zealand dollars, which may or may not be a lot. I mean, yes, it's a lot, but think about the possibilities of some of the things you might be missing. You might be losing, though, by doing so. If we in Malaysia were only charging 6%, but we're going to be charging 6% to all digital services, that means when you use Netflix, say, that Netflix will be expected to determine that you are from Malaysia, and that Netflix then will have to put about a 6% hike in their price. Now they're going to do a sales and service tax. They're going to pass it down to the consumer, specifically the Malaysian consumer. So the Malaysian consumer pays that 6%. Netflix has never been taxed at any point.
I'm curious. I mean, we're using Netflix a lot. I'm curious as to which other companies are going to be affected by this that are very integrated into a lot of Malaysians' daily lives. Because it's one thing, I think, if it's something that you drop in and out of, that you use occasionally. It's quite another if it's something that you've grown to rely on or that has really kind of made itself part of your daily schedule. I think that's when you'll feel that 6% increase. That's when you'll feel that little niggle, right? That little oof.
Yes.
Every time.
Well, that's what they're talking about in New Zealand. It would say with Facebook, etc. The companies that make their revenue, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, that make their revenue from advertising. It's also intermediary services like Uber, Airbnb, and eBay. So yes, you're talking about the things which do sting.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the Malaysian package is looking at that. But also, if we in Malaysia, if we want to start companies that sell digital services to other countries, say to the United States or to New Zealand for that matter, then are we going to be, are our companies then going to be subject to a hike, a tit for tat hike?
You would think, right? You would think that that's a fair assumption.
And if we send a bill to Netflix for umpteen million, Netflix could just turn around and say, well, whatever, we're not going to pay you.
Whatever, we're not going to pay, or whatever, we'll get out of your market then.
Yeah, and exactly. We'll say, we'll punish you by shutting you down. Well, that's who's going to be happy about that?
Let us know what you make of the digital tax that's been introduced, especially for foreign digital service providers. Does it impact you? Let us know. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. You can also call 7733-2900. We're going to be crossing over to Raja Kumaran, Tax Executive Director and Indirect Tax Lead at PricewaterhouseCoopers Malaysia. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's start off with this. What's our rationale for imposing the tax on foreign digital service providers?
Well, the government have always put forward this argument that it is to provide a level playing field between local and foreign digital service providers, and not to disadvantage the local service providers. That seems to be the argument they start with, because the local digital service providers presently would be licensed under service tax and will be imposing a 6% service tax on digital services under the IT category. It's already effective from 1st January 2019. So that's the argument they always... That's what the government put forth when they wanted to expand digital tax for in digital services.
Will the tax have any impact on the consumer?
Well, that's a business decision. Whether businesses want to pass it on or include in their price, they can do it either way.
Internationally, there's a debate on which country the digital services providers should pay their taxes to, whether it's a country where they're based in or the countries that receive their service. Could you explain the reasoning behind the two positions?
I mean, depending on how you look at it, if VAT, service tax, and GST are consumption tax, that answers your question. Where is it consumed? All right. I think where it's consumed, that tax should be at a country where it's consumed, should be a more logical answer. But I think it will, at the end of the day, will depend on the government. I mean, government have to work with each other, which government on a G2G basis, to come to an understanding how are they going to tax this. Because at the end of the day, who wants to take the revenue? I think that's an issue the governments have to think through.
Could you talk to us a bit more about what government-to-government cooperation means with the digital tax?
I think the tax authorities around the world are trying to, because of the digital nature of the world, I mean, the whole world seems to be so open, and cross-border transactions can be done over no physical movement, and actually digital goods can be delivered. I mean, not services, even books are digital in nature. So I think it's important for governments G2G to agree. So that I think what businesses want is this. There should be consistent implementation by the governments around the world. All right? So that not each country have their own way of doing it. There should be consistency. And I think the businesses want is consultation with the business to shape a sound future policy. And they also should give an appropriate lead time for businesses to implement these policies in practice. I think they are important. So what is important is to have a global, consistent way of doing it for digital services.
Having said that, should we be worried about retaliation taxes by other countries on our digital service platforms?
I mean, it's a global phenomenon. I think we want to tax others, I think we should also expect that others want to tax our service providers. I think it has to be a level playing ground, as I said.
And are we anywhere close to achieving that global consistency which you talked about? Because it seems that at this very moment, there isn't really a consensus on how these taxes should work.
I mean, I'm sure it will eventually come to a more consistent way of doing globally. I think that's what businesses want. And I'm sure government, each government also recognizes that to have economic growth, there should be some kind of similar, consistent way of doing things. So I'm sure the government do recognize. That's why I see that even OECDs, there are a lot of meetings being held with the business world as well as among governments.
Raja, thanks for sharing your perspective. That was Raja Kumaran, Tax Executive Director and Indirect Tax Lead at PricewaterhouseCoopers Malaysia, weighing in on the digital tax that's going to kick in next year, right at the start, for foreign digital service providers. And of course, there we're talking about any number of big companies that currently provide us services. So let us know if this impacts you at all. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can also call 7733-2900. Now, heading to the messages, we are still receiving messages about tourism. And we have first up this that's come through from Zini.
Malaysia, compared to destinations like Thailand and Japan, is lacking identity. We don't preserve our historical sites. There's no depth in the experience other than hipster or trendy places. But sometimes that's not enough if I'm deciding on where to visit from the other side of the world.
That point about distance and depth is really important, I think, because it's one thing if you're kind of going cross-country or going from north to south, and then searching for novelty in that instance makes sense. But if you are going to be buying a ticket or at least plotting your way through Southeast Asia and thinking about, yes, you know, do I want to spend money here or would I rather go to, I don't know, Cambodia, for example? You are going to be looking at any number of things, and depth is important.
Yeah, it's it would if you're the kind of person, if you want to go to Bali, then you should go to Bali, because you won't find any kind of Bali in Malaysia. We're not that kind of landscape. But it is a I can't really argue against you there. I think that, you know, I would like to see greater preservation. I guess I'm so used to looking at through the eyes of a local as opposed to a tourist these days. I don't want a touristy kind of like mothballed, cotton wooled kind of, I don't want Singapore.
I understand that, but whether or not we've considered what's appealing to our country, I often find it hard to describe. I love living here. I genuinely love living here. I love being from here. But when it comes to being able to say expressly, visit Malaysia because blank, you're just a single answer. I don't necessarily have that. Anyway, thank you everybody for your messages. We are going to be headed to a song. And then after that, we've got skip intro after the 7:30 news. We are going to be talking with the director of Fly By Night, Zahir Omar. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we have the Beach Boys with Darlin, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.